It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Joining us on California Wine Country is the executive director of the Mendocino Wine Growers. It is Bernadette Byrne. Hi, Bernadette.
Hi, happy to be here.
Great to meet you. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host. It is California Wine Country. Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is here. It is brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Where do we begin? We begin with the Mendocino Wine Growers, Inc.?
Yes.
Okay.
So we are the grower vintner organization for Mendocino County. We represent all of the county and the growers and vintners in all the different regions.
All right. And we're familiar with how all that works because every other Tuesday we have the Sonoma County Wine Growers, and every other Tuesday we have the Sonoma County Vintners in to talk about everything. Lots of good stuff going on in Mendocino County. Dan, your thoughts?
Fabulous region. Actually, a series of fabulous regions because they're all a bunch of these sub-appellations are very, very interesting. The difference between Anderson Valley and places like Redwood Valley and Potter Valley and so forth, and they're all very different. And the uniqueness, it comes out when you see the different varieties coming from different areas. The Potter Valley does a fabulous job with Riesling. You don't see a lot of Riesling around anymore, but when you do see Mendocino County Riesling, some of it does come from Potter Valley, and it's cooler and therefore produces a little bit finer quality wine. The same with Anderson Valley. So there's a lot of different subtle differences between these subregions.
Yeah.
We actually have 11 different sub-AVAs in Mendocino County, so it's a quite a large, very diverse growing region.
Sub-AVAs. Do we have sub-AVAs in Sonoma County?
We do. We got a lot of them.
Is that like Fountain Grove or the Petaluma Gap or
not? Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Right. So if Petaluma Gap is a sub to Sonoma County. There's a little overlap on some of these, but not very much overlap. One of the overlaps that becomes confusing would be Green Valley and Russian River because there's parts of Green Valley which are inside Russian River. So now you have a sub inside of a sub.
Sub. So Bernadette, I love that name.
Thank you.
I really do. How long have you been with the wine growers in Mendocino, and what is your wine history, as they say?
Well, it's kind of all intertwined. I've been in the Mendocino wine industry over 30 years. I moved up to Mendocino County to work for the Fetzer family. I was in production down in the Napa Valley and moved up to be the hospitality director for the Fetzer family back in the 80s and 90s when they were growing exponentially. And I was in charge of the trade hospitality, and it was just a really wonderful opportunity to communicate to all of our buyers and also the retailers and distributors all of the exciting things that Fetzer was doing in innovation, whether it was organic farming at the Food and Wine Center in Hoplin, producing fabulous wines, introducing the Bonterra lineup of wines. And at that time, I was actually executive director of this organization. And then jobs morphed, and I was executive director. And then I went on to be a marketing director for McDowell Valley Vineyards, and I opened my own wine shop called Sip Mendocino. And I sold that a few years ago, and they lured me back to the Mendocino Wine Growers, and I'm the executive director, so it's kind of full circle over the 30 years.
Barry, Mendocino Wines.
They're on the move, for sure, and there's a real kind of intertwining between Sonoma County and Mendocino. I'm seeing more and more. A lot of producers are, for certain varietals, going up to Mendocino, purchasing fruit, because they like the cool weather qualities, and then others, they're staying in Russian River or Dry Creek because certain qualities match those varietals better. So yeah, there's a real strong connection. They're almost kind of seen interchangeable in some ways that you see tons of wineries making wine from both places. So,
and I'm sure Bottle Barn carries a lot of those Mendocino wines.
Yeah. Hasn't caught up to Sonoma County yet, but it's getting there. It's close.
Well, the value is really amazing. Part of it is the fact that some of these growers up there have been selling for a long time. Mendocino fruit was essentially being sold outside the county. So now, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Bernadette.
Yes.
That Mendocino County is making more of its own wine than it's ever made in history.
Absolutely. We're keeping more grapes in county. Traditionally, people have realized the incredible quality and value of Mendocino grapes. And so for a Sonoma or Napa winery, for instance, to buy some Mendocino fruit to blend into their program helps them save a little money on the cost of grapes because they're more affordable in Mendocino County. And we're continuing to grow the reputation of Mendocino County wine so we can keep more of our grapes in county. And our producers are continually to make better and better wines, which are still great values. But we're really pleased to see more of our fruit stay in the county.
And this is interesting. Nearly 25% of the acreage in Mendocino County is organic.
Or more.
Really? Yeah.
We have one of the largest percentages of organic and absolutely by a tenfold biodynamic vineyards in the state of California.
Wow.
This was a project that should be credited to Paul Dolan more than anybody else, I think, because of the fact that Paul...
We haven't talked about the Shard yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Chardonnay, yeah. We'll get to the Chardonnay in a second. Anyway, Paul Dolan was the guy. He was at Fetzer. He was the wine master at the time and
right,
was giving lectures on biodynamic farming. He was trying to be as low impact in the soil as anybody. And he and Dennis Martin, who just passed away a year ago, they were very, very dedicated to making these kinds of moves. And so Mendocino County is at the forefront of this.
Definitely organic wines are on the move, too, I would say.
We've been hearing that for years.
The front of the store right when you walk in. We've created practicing organic, practicing biodynamic, and then certified organic and certified biodynamic.
Well, explain all that. I mean, there's organic, there's certified organic, there's bio something, and what?
It's expensive to get certified, so a lot of people don't do it.
So what's the difference? I mean, it's just on the label you can say certified.
I don't want to get into this because we'll be here all week. Yeah. But biodynamic farming essentially is, I mean, some people with a sense of humor would call it voodoo farming, but that's another story. Basically, it adheres to certain regulations that are very, very strict in terms of what you can do in the vineyard. How much pesticides can you use? Zero. How many herbicides can you use? Zero. How much? And so forth and so on. So these rules are really rigid. There are a lot of wineries that could not afford to go to biodynamics or to organics because they risk something in those awkward and bad vintages where they might end up with such disastrous conditions that they will actually lose their entire crop.
Wow.
And so they can't afford to do that, but they can become sustainable. And sustainable farming is a major step toward that. So you see a lot of this. You see a lot of organic, biodynamic. They integrate extremely well. If you're sensitive to one, you're sensitive to all of them.
So, Bernadette, talk more about, I mean, Dan's already said a lot that is fascinating and such, and but talk more about Mendocino wines. So,
as he mentioned, you know, we're a very diverse county, and we have very unique microclimates. The inland corridor, kind of the Highway 101, say from Hopland up through Redwood Valley, is a warmer corridor. So we tend to grow more of the Rhone varietals, the traditional reds. And, of course, Mendocino really is known for Zinfandel, if you're talking old school red varietals. One of the reasons I feel we have such an amazing wealth of these old vines, these fabulous, gnarly, head-trained, small lots of, you know, 100-year-old vineyards, is the geography is very, very rugged, and many of these vineyards are still owned and managed by the old-time Italian farmers.
Cool.
They're in their families, and so, you know, it's not like a huge valley that you can just say, okay, we just bought, you know, 15 farms, and we're going to plow them under, and we're going to, you know, grow Chardonnay. So there's still Carignan and Petite Sirah and Barbera and lots of old vine Zinfandel. And one of the programs that's absolutely unique to Mendocino County is our Coro Mendocino. And Coro Mendocino is a project dedicated to what we believe is our heritage varietal being Zinfandel. So there are anywhere from 8 to 12 different producers on any given year producing Coro Mendocino. And Coro Mendocino basically translates to many voices singing together. So it's this chorus of Mendocino vintners. And they're crafting wines based on Zinfandel. The blends have to have at least 40% Zinfandel, but no more than 70% Zinfandel. And then there's a list of allowed varietals. And these vintners get together through a two-year process to evaluate the wines that are being submitted to be qualified as Coro. And it's a pass-fail. And it's a blind tasting. And, you know,
and there were times when the winemakers would taste their own wines and they would turn thumbs down on their own wine. They'd say, no, this doesn't work. Rough. It's terrible wine. And then they'd say, well, it's yours, buddy.
Right.
It's true.
We've talked about this Coro thing before.
Yeah, we have.
That's fascinating.
It is really interesting because some guys will use like Grenache in there. In their Zin, and some people will use, you know, Barbera in their Zin, and it's a whole different ballgame. When you blend in a little bit of Barbera, it changes, it makes the whole wine go in that direction as opposed to that direction.
It's not subtle then.
No, it's not subtle. It's you can notice the difference.
Wow. You tasted. I did not. You go ahead and talk about the rosé.
So the first wine that I poured, Barry, I don't know if you've had this, is a Grenache Rosé. I had the great fortune of working for McDowell Valley Vineyards for a decade or so, and they produced only Rhone varietals, and they made a dry Grenache Rosé from the Grenache Gris varietal, which is one of the Grenache varietals, these old vines, and it was this the most delectable, light, refreshing rosé. And this is from Sebas, who's a relatively new producer in the Mendocino wine industry. They grow their grapes outside of Ukiah, and it is a traditional French-style Grenache rosé. Their winemaker is Stéphane Vivier, who you folks probably are familiar with, and mm-hmm. he's a you know a really well-known winemaker. So it's a you know just a really delightful, light, crisp. Lovely sipping wine.
Dan, the rosé.
Yeah, well, rosé, we all have talked about rosé almost endlessly around here. Yeah. Mary carries more rosés than anybody. Mm-hmm. This is a good example of how to take Grenache and make it into a relatively full-bodied style wine. So it's it does need a little bit more chilling than it has here. Probably the greatest aspect of this wine is its mid-palate. It kind of tastes a little bit like a light red, and it does have a lot of richness to it. It's a good wine for chilling down and sipping on a patio. It's a lovely wine.
I tasted the Chardonnay. Where is that from?
So that is the same producer, Sebas.
Okay.
And that is what they call their Grand Reserve. So it's a real kind of a Burgundian style, very rich, very lush, you know, 100% barrel fermented, malolactic. So a lot of kind of an unctuous, rich.
I love that word, unctuous.
Isn't it a good
word? I never get to use it.
When you talk about wine occasionally, you get to say unctuous.
Yeah, I'm going to start using it more for no apparent reason.
Why not?
It's a really classy Chardonnay. They also produce a family-style Chardonnay, they call it, and it's a stainless steel, so much more of a refreshing sipper. This is really kind of, again, a grand, lovely kind of a special occasion, fine dining type of Chardonnay. Of course, it could be a meal on it all in itself if you had no food with it because it's really a beautiful big wine.
You have these wines at Bottle Bar?
I don't, actually. I don't think
Well, you will after today.
Yeah, they're nice, striking texture. Both wines, a lot of texture but good acidity along with it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
And don't forget the unctuous quality.
It was very unctuous. I'm feeling unctuous right now. I don't even know what the word means. Okay, this Pinot, a 2016 Pinot. The thing I want to mention is the winery is called Murder Ridge.
Yeah.
That's an odd name for a winery.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there's a really fun, you might want to pull that up, play on a murder of crows.
That's the collective noun.
And if you look, there are crows all over the label.
And I see that.
This vineyard is from Mendocino Ridge, which is one of our very unique appellations. It's the only non-contiguous appellation in the United States. What that means is it's just the ridge tops above 1,400 feet in elevation. So it's referred to as the islands in the sky. So if you visualize these ridge tops who sit above the fog line overlooking both the Anderson Valley and the coast. And so it's a pretty extreme farming situation. My friend Steve Alden has been growing grapes up in Mendocino Ridge for about 20 years. And his trademark is farming in the wilderness. And it is really wilderness.
It gets very remote very quickly. I've been lost up there.
You start
before.
To drive up those little mountain roads, and pretty soon you don't know where the hell
you are. There's nothing.
And you don't want to be out at night. There's bears and cougars. He loses a huge amount of his crop every year to bears.
Murder Ridge. Well, I'm Italian, but I've never seen this before, but I'm going to assume it's because it says here on the label, Pearly Gianoli. Is that Italian Pinot Noir?
The Gianoli Ranch
or
is
no?
a historical ranch up in the Mendocino Ridge.
Okay, and what is Pearly, Kathy?
And Pearly is the name of the Italian farmstead that was on this particular plot of land.
Gotcha, okay.
There's three, there's Zini, Gianoli, and Kapuschki, maybe? Which are the
Kapuschki,
three?
There's another word I need to start using.
The old vineyards up in the Mendocino Ridge.
How you doing, Steve? Well, I'm feeling a little Kapuschki today.
Well, Zini property is actually has made some of the greatest Zinfandels in the state.
Hmm?
The old Zini property, which is a fabulous old historic property.
Talk about this 2016 Pinot, Dan.
The 2016 Pinot is very distinctive. It's different because it's above the fog line, so you're getting a little bit more ripeness. But the harvest was early because you can indicate that from the color, the light color. It's beautifully structured. It's got this minty component that I've never smelled much before. You occasionally get that in Pinot Noir, but rarely. And in this case, the structure is beautifully handled with the tannins being handled so carefully so that you can actually drink this now, but you probably want to put it away for 3 or 4 years. This is really gorgeous wine.
Mm. Yeah. Those ridgetops, there's like an inversion thing that goes on, right? Like at harvest, it can be 85 degrees up there. And 60 down in the Valley Fours, right? So it's
yeah.
You
got to be careful with the harvest date on these mountain grown grapes.
Mm. You know, Wikipedia says, and if Wikipedia says it, it's true. I always say that. Mendocino County is one of the northernmost commercial wine grape regions in the state, but it's also one of the most climatically diverse wine growing regions, which you alluded to earlier.
We get very hot in Hoplin.
Yeah, right.
it can be, you know, significantly cooler in the Anderson Valley or Potter Valley, and then you're up on the ridge tops. And as the fog comes in from the, you know, there's a real Pacific Ocean influence on the deep end of the Navarro. You know, temperatures can range 30 degrees.
Now let's talk about the huge appellation of Covello.
Covello. Covello. Yes, even I knew that.
Okay, got it.
You don't have too much panache today.
That's right.
There's not that much panache in Covello.
I've been there. I have a few friends who live there. It's
how many acres are planted there?
That I don't know, but
I can tell you.
Very few. Yes? Mm.
Two.
Wow.
All right.
That's quite a lobbying effort to get that put through.
It's got that. Somebody got that passed through the federal government. I can't figure that one out. 2 acres.
2 acres.
Are planted in Covello.
And what is their specialty in 2 acres?
I have no clue. I've never. I've been there for
it's
one.
It's pretty cool.
When my car boiled over, that's where I was there.
I heard they make a great Grenache Panache. I'm sorry, I can't get over that word. I just love that word. We got to take our break. We'll be back with California Wine Country. A reminder, California Wine Country is available on podcast. Every single episode is available. And you can go to, I keep forgetting, it's not iTunes now. It's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher.
There we go.
Anywhere fine podcasts are offered, you can find it. California Wine Country. online. Today we're featuring Bernadette Byrne, Executive Director of Mendocino Wine Growers. And they're doing some great stuff up there. We got to talk about this Cole Ranch. What is it?
Riesling.
I got to get my eyes checked again. I can't see crap anymore. But my hearing is going too.
But your palate's working. You nailed that.
Yeah, well,
you know, licorice.
I said licorice, and of course that means fennel.
Mm-hmm.
This is just gorgeous.
It's killer wine.
Yeah, the actual. Yeah.
It's a Mendo Riesling. What year is this?
16, and that's from the Cole Ranch appellation. I don't know if we mentioned
I've heard
that.
Of them.
It's the smallest appellation, again, in America. So already we've already talked about two unique appellations that are only in Mendocino, the only non-contiguous appellation, which is Mendocino Ridge, and the smallest American viticultural area, which is Cole Ranch.
The Cole Ranch appellation is halfway between Anderson Valley and Ukiah. It's up in the hills. It's cold up there because it's about a quarter mile high. What's really interesting is that this vineyard has been there for a long time, and nobody knows about it. Yeah. I was buying this wine when it was called Esterlina, and I used to have – I must have probably drank about two cases of Esterlina Riesling over the years. This is wonderful stuff.
Mm. This particular Riesling is produced by Desire Lines Wine Company, which is assistant winemaker at Bedrock, Kobe Rasmussen. His label, it's just him and his wife, a few hundred cases.
This winemaker's a talent. He's a good guy.
By the way, I just wanted to interject. Kathy reminded me when I was talking about our California Wine Country podcasts, which you can catch every episode of California Wine Country online at various locations. I failed to mention kind of the main location for us, which is calwinecountry.com, not California Wine Country. But calwinecountry.com. So if you missed anything, you want to go back and see what all these experts are saying about various wines, that's what you do.
And if you haven't taken any notes, which you're, if you're driving, you're not going to take notes.
Oh, really?
You go to the wine.
I encourage that kind of stuff.
I'm sure the CHP does, too. Anyway, you can hear it again, and you get the right.
My friend John Sloat from the CHP is probably going to send me a text. Steve, please don't say stuff like that. I was kidding, John. I'm kidding. I'm a kidder. Bernadette Byrne, Executive Director of Mendocino Wine Growers, is with us. Okay, this Riesling.
Is that killer?
It really is amazing. The fennel licorice thing in the nose, I just love that.
It's really distinctive.
But beautiful. It's on the tongue, too.
Yeah, it's right there. You know, what you smell is what you get. And then the floral components are really interesting. Can you imagine how this is going to be in 10 years? I'm a huge old Riesling lover.
Dan, lay it down.
You talk Riesling, you're really speaking the lay it down language for him.
It's got great acidity, so it will really last.
Yeah. What's the retail price on that, Barry?
$19.99.
That's a great, great value.
Worth every penny. That's pretty impressive.
If that were German, it would be $35.
Oh, easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have this?
Got one case to start. He only made a few hundred. He's going to just drop me a case now and then. He didn't make a lot. So
Barry does a lot of negotiations in the hallway after California Wine Country.
Arm twisting.
I've already had a few
wrangling.
Deals. I mean, okay. I'm going to go. I'm a rock star.
There you go.
Exactly.
Again, this Riesling. Any idea what a price point would be for the Riesling?
Well, right now
the MSRP. I
mean, well, in terms of today's market, it'll be a $25 for anybody else. It's going to be $20 for at Bottle Barn.
At Bottle Barn.
But to me, this is like I said, if you found this with a German name on the label, it would at least be $35. This is the kind of wine that you just don't see very often because it's so concentrated. Look, who uses the phrase concentrated in terms of white wine? But in this case, it's concentrated because of flavors. And that fennel that you identified, Steve, that is exactly what this is.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous wine.
It is gorgeous wine.
And I won't use the word unctuous, but it has a beautiful viscosity.
Viscosity is another one I need to start using.
Because it really, you know, it seems very counterintuitive to call a wine oily, but Rieslings can have that kind of viscosity, and it really adds so much to the mouthfeel.
Yeah. Especially with the age, and they start getting petrol-y.
Right.
Then the oil thing really ties
in. Right.
Yeah.
And Dan,
double entendre.
Speaking of Riesling, I know that in Mendocino County there's not a lot of acreage. I know that it's not as profitable as other varietals, which I think has led to maybe the decline of the actual total acreage. Could you speak to a little bit of what you think is out there?
Yeah, Guinness McFadden probably has the largest growth of Riesling out there. Oh,
yeah.
You've got one with you. Oh, my gosh, look at that.
We love McFadden. We've had them in before. Guinness McFadden.
Yeah.
And that's
named after a beer, and he's a big wine guy.
That's right. And by the way, for a long, long time, Chateau Montelena in the Napa Valley, they make all kinds of wonderful Riesling. It was all from Guinness McFadden for a long time.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's a wonderful property.
And Sauvignon Blanc Sterling makes a McFadden Farms Sauvignon Blanc.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Mention the name of the winery for the Riesling again.
That is Desire Lines. It's first wine they've come out with.
Really?
He's been for
stunning.
Maybe the last 5 years assistant winemaker at Bedrock, which is Joel Peterson's son's winery, Ravenswood.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put in his time there and has now released his first wine.
Wow.
This is one of the reasons that I like Mendocino County, and I'll be a judge at the wine competition next month and later this month. And so will you.
Yeah,
well,
neither.
No, it's next month. Sorry.
Yeah, August.
August.
It seems like tomorrow,
so
but it's a month away.
No, but Barry and I both will be judges there. And what I really like about the county is that it's an area of discovery. You really find stuff that you never anticipated. You never expected. And this Pinot Noir from Massoud is a classic example. And Bernadette and Jay.
It's pronounced Massoud?
Massoud.
Yes.
M-A-S-U with the little thingy there over the U, T. M-A-S-U-T.
So the genesis is.
Or is that just a stain?
No, it actually is Massoud. And it refers to dark earth. There's a lot of Native American culture and, tribal lands in Mendocino County. And so Massoud is a vineyard north of the Ukiah Valley, actually kind of touches to Redwood Valley, and it is its own new AVA. It's actually the newest AVA in Mendocino County called Eagle Peak. And so Massoud refers to the Indian word for rich, dark earth.
Now, when you taste this wine, you think, well, gee, this wine it's got all this richness and this personality. But what's really surprising is that it's 2009.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow.
Taste that wine, Steve. This is 2009. It's still a young, fresh, sort of vibrant fruit component.
Would you lay this down?
Well, I would hold it for two or three more years to get a little bit more personality into it, but I could also decant it. But the thing about this wine was released years ago. It's no longer available, and Jake played a trick on me. He, Jake, the guy who made the wine, he sends this bottle over with Bernadette to say, because I had originally written, it's beautiful wine, but it needs a lot of time. Well, here is the wine with time, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I'm right.
Really nice.
So a little perspective on Massoud. Massoud is a wine brand dedicated primarily to Pinot Noir.
Right.
And it is created by Jake and Ben Fetzer. And they are grandchildren of the original founder of Fetzer Vineyards,
wow.
Barney Fetzer.
Yeah, wow.
And their father, Bobby Fetzer, was really a pioneer in organic grape growing. And he was really a rebel in every other way. a lovable rebel. And we miss him terribly. He passed away in a river rafting accident. I'm trying to think, maybe a little over 10 years ago. And his sons wanted to carry on this rebel cause that he had started, which was planting Pinot Noir in the Inland Corridor. You know, we are very familiar with Pinot Noir grown in Anderson Valley, a cool area, or Potter Valley. But everybody just went, oh, you can't grow decent Pinot Noir in the Inland Corridor. It's too hot. Well, Bobby Fetzer knew about the coastal influence when you go into the northern Redwood Valley region and the coastal. I mean, they're only literally a mile or two from the coast as a crow flies. And he planted exclusively Pinot Noir, and his boys are making fabulous wines.
They're doing a great job. And I guess you could say that I was right when I said to them, I literally called them on the phone and said, you need about 10 more years in the bottle. Well, here it is. It's 8 years from the time I tasted it, and the wine has just gotten fabulous.
Yeah, you talk about the tradition there, and it's interesting. They run the gamut, though, because property is not as expensive as here. They're willing to experiment and try new things, different places, different varietals. You know, if you're in Russian River Valley, you're hard-pressed not to grow Pinot because of what the grape commands in the market.
Like but Napa up there, and Cabernet?
Yeah, same. You just can't get away from it. But up there, where property is quite a bit less, you know, try a different varietal. Try something where it's not normally planted, and it encourages a lot of really interesting things, but combined with a lot of old tradition that's been there 100 years. So it's a really cool appellation.
Very tasty wines at reasonable prices.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Delicious. Bernadette Byrne is the executive director of Mendocino Wine Growers. She is our guest today. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
We will have you back, no doubt. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottled Barn. Barry Herbst and Dan Berger are here. What do you got on the special at Bottle Barn this week?
Well, this one's not on the special. I just went with Mendocino Wines this week.
Oh, gotcha.
In Bernadette's honor.
Thank you.
And this is Idlewild Rosé from Mendocino, which is uniquely Piedmontese varietals from northern Italy, which is over almost half of it is Nebbiolo, and I think the rest is Barbera and Dolcetto, which you don't see as a rosé very often. The family that did this is falling in love with those varietals, and they make reds from the same varietals as well.
What's the brand name?
Idlewild.
Idlewild.
And I'm pretty family, sure right? that the grapes for this wine come from Fox Hill.
Right,
Lowell
yes.
Stone has been growing Italian varietals. He'd been selling the grapes to Greg Graziano, of course, who has a huge Italian portfolio for years. So the vineyards are very well respected. And I believe that, was it Jake Bilbro?
Or Sam, I think.
Sam has taken over the management of the vineyards. So really exciting to see a new brand coming out with Mendocino.
Very lovely wine, totally dry.
Yeah, and very rustic for a rosé, actually. Yeah, not your typical fruity fine. It's more kind of earthy and
chewy.
Yeah, totally different. I like it.
Really, it's red wine with no color.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this?
It's the rosé.
Sorry, I turned my mic off.
Idlewild.
You're missing Idlewild here.
It's got a fabulous finish of really interesting spice notes.
Yeah.
You know, like a little nutmeg, clove, cinnamon. Dried strawberries, a little rose petal, kind of that, you know, traditional
really
potpourri that they talk about from Tavol rosés, even though it's an Italian
varietal.
Imagine
serving this with smoked salmon, because the flavors are rich enough to go with the richness of the salmon. And the smoke,
a lot of roses.
The smoke component doesn't want any more additional aromatics. It needs just the acidity to cut through some of the oil. So this would be the great one. This is really dry.
It's really different.
We're talking dry.
Yeah.
Dry.
Delicious. Yeah.
This is not for the White Zinfandel crowd.
No.
Nothing is for the White Zinfandel crowd. Is that stuff still around?
It's and you don't want to drink it.
Only in large bottles in our store. So.
The bigger the bottle.
So if you're going to commit, you have to commit to a lot. If you're going to buy it from us.
Get me a keg of White Zinfandel. We'll tap that White Zinfandel keg.
Exactly.
That's what we like.
I'm going to go for some smoked salmon with this stuff. This is
or
really
Italian
good.
Food, like a crudo or something.
It might work. Or, you know what? Bruschetta.
Yeah, bruschetta would be perfect.
Yeah, good acidity with the tomatoes.
Yeah,
and
some herbal, earthy qualities.
I'm so ready. Nice. Bring it on.
Oh, man.
Summer. I'm ready for a summer afternoon, right?
Oh, man, that is nice.
That's pretty wine.
That is nice. We're wrapping California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn on this Wednesday drive on KSRO. Dan Berger, Barry Herbst. The wine buyer from Bottle Barn, of course. And today, Bernadette Byrne, who is executive director of Mendocino Wine Growers, is with us. And, Barry left the room. Oh, there he is.
So we do actually spit wine on the show.
Yeah, well, we have dump cups. You don't have to go outside.
It got full.
I filled it up.
Oh.
It's a lot of spinning.
So you guys have been, Bottle Barn has been doing some cool tastings at the Hyatt. We've done a few. We broadcast live from there one day on a Wednesday when you guys were doing. What was that? The
Pinot Noir. Yeah.
It was.
So
Pinot.
Now we're doing second annual coming up.
So you're doing a second annual Pinot thing. Tell everyone about it.
August 30th
and we just locked it in with the Hyatt, and then we'll send it out to the invite to our mailing list probably early August, which is the insiders list. If you go to our webpage, click on the insider, and that's where you sign up to be on our mailing list right now, and you'll get the invite if your name is on that list.
All right.
And the last, the rosé tasting sold out in 48 hours. So
yeah, exactly.
Be quick on it.
Wow.
So it won't take, yeah, we'll take 150 people this time. And it's real fun. It opens up into the back courtyard where people get married there at the Hyatt with the wisteria.
Yeah,
the
it's cool.
Ball. It's beautiful.
It's very cool.
We had a couple stations out there.
We hope to broadcast live from the next Peanut one.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Wrapping it up, Dan, got a few minutes?
Yeah. Well,
Mendocino.
Mendocino. Well, first of all, Mendocino does a lot of Grape Fridays that nobody ever heard of before. Like, for example, Greg Graziano alone, who's been on the show before, will produce at least 6 to 10 varietals that nobody ever grows. And he does a brilliant job. So that's something to do. You can drive up to Ukiah. You can drive up to Anderson Valley. You can do all these little tours up there. It's a fabulous area to visit. And it's a day trip.
And I'd have to give a plug for my hometown of 30 years, which is Hopland, which is the home to about 14 different tasting rooms and some amazing restaurants. We have the Solar Living Institute. There's a lot of interesting shops. And literally, it's less than an hour from Santa Rosa.
No, I used to go to Hopland a lot. I haven't recently, but I love Hopland. Yeah, and it's come such a long way. You know, in the last number of years, as far
it's not really far away from other properties that really are unknown to anybody. There's a one wonderful property up there called Jackson, spelled J-A-X-O-N.
It's part of the Wilson.
Jackson Keys.
We've had them in before. In fact, I saved a bottle of their wine. It's on top of my refrigerator, which is where I...
yes, you do. Great brandy.
That's where I lay down all my wines on top of my refrigerator.
Hacker comes out of your trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, J-A-X-O-N. I got that bottle up there.
It's part of the Wilson family. There.
Yeah, exactly. They were in once years ago, and I said, you know, I'm suing you.
They're making great wines. They're doing a fabulous job.
Yeah, very cool. I forgot where the name came from. It's not named after me, that's for sure. I don't know. J-A-X-O-N, I can't remember.
It used to be Jepson.
Jepson.
Before that. So maybe we were just doing a little.
Make it a little bit of French Colombard.
Yeah.
Bernadette Byrne is executive director of Mendocino Wine Growers, Inc. What's the website?
MendoWine.com.
There you go. That's simple. MendoWine.com. Boy, they do some great stuff up there. And it's a pleasure to meet you, Bernadette. Thanks for coming down.
So enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Barry, anything to add?
No. Be here next week, but not the following. But there's new specials out in the PD this week. A couple of them actually sold out already. So when you see those, I would suggest jumping on them. There's always really good deals there.
Or go to BottleBarn.com. Dan? Mm-hmm.
One last thing. Fetzer is celebrating its 50th anniversary in Mendocino County.
Wow. And what's going on? Are they doing
an event? Don't know. I have no idea, but just watch for
what's
happening.
You know, they've been celebrating online, and it's worth following them at Fetzer.com. They've been doing a series of 50 different videos, which feature the family and winemakers and dignitary such as myself.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
And you are a dignitary.
Absolutely. And they're really fun they really try and capture the experience of the wonderful, exciting years of this really dynamic family and put in perspective what this brand is now versus how it started with a family of 11 kids running around the vineyards doing everything. So it's a really great story, and it's really fun to see that it's still a fabulous brand doing wonderful things and making great Mendocino wines.
Bernadette Byrne, Mendocino Wine Growers, Dan Berger, of course, and Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. That'll do it.